how good and how lovely it is when what happens? When we dwell together, how? In unity and what else? Harmony and what else? Love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everyone, thank you for tonight being here. How many of you got your Bibles with you? Or you got your little iPad or phone or whatever? Lift it up. And let's make this declaration. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight, I will be taught the Word of God. Anything and everything that doesn't come from here, I don't need. And neither do you. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, the lotto. God is bigger than the lotto. Mega dollars or whatever they want to call it. If there was a decision between the winning ticket and God's ticket, take God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles. And before I begin tonight, I just want to thank our pastors, first of all, for the opportunity to always stand before you. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to stand before you and share the Word of God. I also want to thank my wife, who always is a great support to me. And she was my first teacher. So she's my Bible teacher. She told me about Jesus, and she also taught me about not being promiscuous, right? Yeah, she told me when I first was with her, she says, well, you know, I'm not promiscuous. I said, well, I think we're Baptists. I don't know. In my family, I think everybody's Baptist. I knew nothing about promiscuity. I knew nothing. I mean, I practiced it, but I didn't know nothing about it. But she taught me the difference between promiscuity and the Word of God. Amen? Let's turn in our Bibles. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. And, you know, this message tonight's going to be a little bit, I always say different. It's going to be different in one sense that when I first got this message several weeks ago, I didn't know where it was going to fit. But then as time marched on, I found out that when God drops a message in my heart to share with the congregation, there's a place for it. And tonight is smack dab in the middle, okay? So is everyone at Proverbs chapter 28? Proverbs chapter 28, the 20th verse. Do you have that? Okay, I'm reading from the King James. Read along with me in your version. Let's read that. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. One more time. A faithful man shall do what? Abound with what? Blessings, right? So in other words, a faithful man or woman shall abound with what? Blessings. Now let me read that from God's Word translation. It says it this way. It says, a trustworthy person. Notice the King James said faithful. But here it says, trustworthy person. So we could say this, a faithful person is what? A trustworthy person has many blessings. But anyone in a hurry to get rich will not escape punishment. Now here's that same word in the Amplified, the regular Amplified. It says, a faithful, right-minded man. I like how it said that. Faithful, in Amplified, faithful means what? Right-minded. How many of you in your right mind? All right, it's good. So a faithful, right-minded man will abound with blessings, but he who hurries to be rich will not go unpunished. Now, I like this one too, the Passion Translation. Listen to this. It says, life's blessings drench the honest and faithful person. Let me say it again. Life's blessings drench. You know what drench means, right? Soaking. The honest and faithful person. But punishment rains down upon the greedy and dishonest. Amen. So tonight what we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk about it this week and I'll carry over next week. God gave me this message to share with you, this congregation. And the title of this message is Faithfulness, the Blueprint for God's Blessings and Promotion. Let me say that again. Faithfulness, the Blueprint for God's Blessings and Promotion. Now, you're familiar with today, a lot of people, especially in the body of Christ, the church, right? The church has a large assortment of talented and gifted people. Would you agree? Amen. Now, that's true, right? And even here at RLCC, we have a bunch of talented and gifted people, right? Would you agree? However, the truth is that there are not many faithful people. We got a lot of talent. We got a lot of gifted people, but not many faithful people, okay? Now, we do indeed have some faithful people here, and I'm looking at some of them tonight. Many of them tonight. Amen? You don't count, you count yourself faithful? Okay, but anyway, well, what I'm saying is some of them are here tonight, right? And to the faithful ones, I pray that this message would encourage you, okay? Because if you're faithful, I pray that this message would encourage you. And to the ones who are not faithful, I pray that this message would encourage you. Because one thing we can all do is become what? Faithful, right? Now, to level the playing field, if you have been called to the fivefold ministry or leadership capacity in your local church, or even in the ministry of helps, or even a lay person. Now listen to this. God doesn't look at your position. God doesn't look at your tag. You know what he looks at? Your faithfulness, okay? Now, before we get on the road with this word faithfulness, because you know where we're going, the dictionary has a definition for faithful. Here it is. It's the adjective. It says a strict or thorough in the performance of duty. Okay? Here's another definition. True to one's word, promises, vows, etc. How many people you know that you can't trust them, right? Because they don't keep what? Their word. And you want to be known as a man and woman of what? Your word. Because that's an adjective of faithfulness, right? Also, here's another definition. Reliable. How many of you would say you're reliable? Okay, good. I saw the hands up. That's good. How many of you can be trusted? Okay, good, good. And I like this one. It says reliable, trusted, or believed. In other words, people can believe you, right? You're believable. Now, here's another definition about faithfulness. Adhering or true to fact, a standard, or an original accurate. Okay, in other words, these are the words are saying accurate people, faithful people, adhering to the fact, right? Now, here's a definition they had that they call obsolete. In other words, this one's not used anymore when it talks about faithful, but we use it. It says full of faith. How many of you are full of faith? All right, good. Believing. Amen. So here it is we're seeing. It says here, the writer of Proverbs says what? A faithful man shall do what? Abound how? With blessings. Now turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's see what the Apostle Paul had to say about this. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, where's Timothy? Show up, Timothy. Where art thou? Where are you? Oh, there it is. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now listen to what Paul has to say about this. Verses 11 through 12. Paul is writing to the church, right? And he's commending Timothy, right? He says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. He says, I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he had counted me what? So Paul is saying what? God did what? Counted him faithful, doing what? Putting him into the ministry. Now, here's something you got to understand. God counted Paul what? Faithful. Then he was placed where? So in other words, if you want to get into the ministry, you're going to have to be found what? Faithful. Okay. Now, here's something that everybody wants to be found faithful, right? We want to be found faithful in our calling. We want to be found faithful in the things that God calls us to do. Now, how many of you have that same passion that Isaiah had? Remember when he said he saw the Lord and the Lord took the hot coals and said, who will I send? And what did Isaiah said? He said, here am I, Lord, do what? Send me, right? How many of you ever said that to the Lord? Here am I, I'm available, send me. Now, here's what happens. A lot of us get that zeal. Here I am, Lord, send me. And you know where he sends you? He sends you to the bathrooms. He sends you to clean the toilets. Here am I, Lord, send me. And you know where else he sends you? To the nursery, changing diapers. But here's what happened. The zeal drops real quick. Because everybody wants to go here, but they don't want to go to those other places where God would send them, right? But in other words, but in those places is where you're going to develop faithfulness, okay? Now, let me just share something with you. I think my wife, Valerie, shared this a few weeks ago. I think it was on a Friday night. The first church we were in, because I've only been in two churches my whole life. The church I got saved in, Fellowship Chapel, in the Bronx, and RLCC. So I don't travel around, okay? But anyway, the church we were a part of, what they did was, it was a small church, and they asked the families of the church once a week to take up the responsibility of, you know, cleaning the bathrooms, right? So, you know, we did it, and, you know, other people. But then finally, we found out that when it came time to do it, we were the family that would go, and we did it willingly. And the people, you know, the people that were in charge, they saw that. And, you know, it wasn't a big, prosperous church, but what they did was, because they saw our faithfulness, they just sensed in their hearts to just give us a little stipend. That's what they called the stipend, okay? They gave us a stipend. But here's the deal. We did it whether we received the stipend or not, because God placed it in our hearts to help the local church, and we served that way. But when we came up here to RLCC, I mean, when we came up here in the day, in the heyday, when we had over, 2,000 people, and the nursery was jam-packed. How many remember the nursery? Some of you do, some of you don't. But let me give you a picture. The nursery was jam-packed. There would be close to maybe 30 to 40 children every weekend, every Sunday, in that place. And they had only maybe four women. So what they did was, they said the parents that would bring up the children once a month, you had to go in the nursery, right, to serve. Now, my wife didn't like going into the nursery, so the lot fell to me. So anyway, when I went in, you know, and there's a bunch of children all over them. So really, you had maybe six kids you had to watch out for. You had to change their diapers and everything. And I mean, it was wild. Mr. Allen, I don't know if you know who Mr. Allen was. He would come by maybe for a while, give him a break. He'd do drawings, and the kids liked that. So anyway, while I was there one time, I just thought about it. I said, wait a minute. The church I came out of, I did children's church. And, you know, and I saw they had puppets and books. So I told Mrs. Felix and Mrs. Sweet, I said, if you give me a puppet and book, I can do something with the kids. They said, for real. So they gave me a puppet, they gave me a book, and they set the kids down. And I started reading this book, you know, interacting with the kids, with the puppet, with the story and all that. So anyway, that gave them like maybe 15 minutes. But 15 minutes there was like eternity, right? So every time I would come in, they would say, Mr. Floyd, we got another book and we got another puppet. But that's what I did. So I did that, you know, just to fill in, you know, being found faithful. So what am I saying about that? It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter if it's convenient. If you're found faithful, God does what? Rewards faithfulness. Okay, you understand it? He rewards faithfulness. He doesn't reward positions. Does everyone understand that? He doesn't reward titles. Okay? He doesn't reward those things. Men will reward those things. But here's what happens with men. When men reward you, they can do what else? Take it away. So you want to be found faithful, because it says a faithful man shall do what? Abound how? With blessings. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to notice. I had a book many years ago I got from the Faithful Bookstore from Ed Dufresne. And the title was similar to what I'm sharing tonight. He was talking about faithfulness, right? And he made a comment, and I'm going to mention this comment that he made. He said, no matter what you're called to do, whether it's a toilet detail, deacon, pastor, or floor sweeper, be faithful. One of the biggest problems is many churches is that pastors don't have faithful workers. The ministry of helps is just as important as the ministry of the pastor. Let me say that one more time. The ministry of helps is just as important as the ministry of pastor. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're talking about faithfulness, the blueprint for God's blessings and promotion. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 28. Now, we all get all excited about this, and you hear people jump and shout and scream, and it says, and God has set in the church what? First what? Apostles. Secondarily what? Prophets. Thirdly what? Teachers. And after that, miracles, right? Then gifts of healings, right? Everybody's all excited. But then what's the next one? Helps. Say help. Help. Do you understand the magnitude of what God just said there? See, everybody thinks the miraculous and laying hands on the sick, people raised up, is where you want to be. But the truth of the matter is how God looks at it. He looked at all of those areas. If a person's an apostle, we had an apostle here this week, right? God will measure him for his faithfulness to his calling. We've had a few prophets in here, right? Real ones, okay? But here's what I'm saying. God will measure them by the faithfulness of their office. We have pastors, do we not? We have teachers, do we not? God will measure them by what? Their faithfulness. We have helps. Yes, we do. And guess what? God will measure them according to what? Their faithfulness. Now, here's what I want you to see. He said the ministry of helps need to be comprised of people faithful in upholding another man's coat. Turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. I know this is not a shouting message, but I just hope it hits home with you to help you to realize the importance that God places in his word when he talks about being faithful, okay? Exodus chapter 17, look at verse 8 through 13. Now, I'm going to read that. This is the account when Moses was holding up the staff, and as long as he held up the staff, Joshua, his servant, prevailed, right? There was a battle going on. But what happened? Moses got a little what? A little tired, and his arms start to go down like this. And when his arms started to go down like this, guess what happened? The enemy prevailed, right? But what happened? What did Moses need? He needed what? He needed the right kind of help, right? And who was his right kind of help? Aaron and Hur. So let's pick up the story. Ready? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out and fight Amalek. And tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur did what? They held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now look at verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek, in other words, beat him, and his people with the edge of the sword. Now here's what happened. I want you to get this picture. Who was the leader? Moses. What was the objective? What was the objective? They were going into battle. Who did he send into battle? Joshua. Joshua was going into battle against Amalek, right? But what happened? What did Moses say? As long as I held up what? The staff, you'll prevail, right? So I want you to think of it this way. God has given a mandate to our pastors. He's telling them how to go into battle. Now, there may be some that the pastors may say, like Joshua, like he ordained Joshua to go into the battle. But did you notice when Moses' hands came down, Joshua didn't run back and held his hand. Can you imagine trying to hold his hand up and fighting with a sword? That wouldn't have worked, right? So who held up his hands? Aaron and Hur. They were Moses' helps. So because the helps were in place, now listen to this. Because the helps were in place, Moses' objective was achieved. I want you to see. But guess what? It took what? Faithful men. It's going to take faithful men, faithful women to uphold the hands of who? Our pastors. And then they'll send some of us Joshuas and Joshuettes in there to do battle, right? Amen? Are you getting the picture? Now, when the church is a group, when we're as a group, when we come together and we are faithful, we become a dominant force. And it has nothing to do with size. See, don't be moved like, oh, well, back then we had over 2,500 people and we were running all of this. Okay, that was then. This is now. I like to think of it this way. We are the survivors. But I'm going to change that. Not even survivors. We are the thrivers. God has moved some on to do other things. Some God has moved the glory. Okay, people are going to move out. People are going to move up. But we need to be found what? Faithful. In what? In the service of the Lord, right? Now, let me give you another example. Let's look at, and Ed Dufresne said this. He said, pastors have a tendency to fall into this trap of the enemy. And what is the trap? They try to compare themselves with one another. So when you're serving, don't try to compare yourself with another person. Because I got news for you, there's no comparison. Amen. Look at yourself and say this. Say, there is no one that can compare with me. And also, I can't compare with no one else. So Ed Dufresne said pastors run into that problem. He says they allow themselves to fall into that trap and try to look like another ministry, try to look like, oh, well, they're doing this, we'll do that, okay? He said this, and I like what he said. He said, let God develop your personality in ministry. Let God develop your personality. Because what happens? God is looking at what? Faithfulness, okay? Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Because if you think it's just only Old Testament, let's look in the New Testament or in the Gospels to see what Jesus had to say about this. Matthew chapter 25. We're talking about faithfulness, God's blueprint for promotion and blessings, right? Or blessings and promotion. Amen? Matthew chapter 25. Are you there? Now, let's look at verses 14 to 30, okay? Now, Jesus is giving a parable, right? He's speaking about a parable. So follow along with me. He says this. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave what? 5 talents. To another, 2. To another, 1. To every man, now I don't know if you highlighted this in your Bible, but highlight this. To every man, to every man according to his several ability. In other words, these talents were doled out according to their potential. Everyone see that? So in other words, he didn't overload them. He gave them according to their potential, right? Now let's keep on going, right? Where am I at? 16. Thank you. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So my math majors, 5 talents plus 5 talents is how many talents? 10, right? Okay, good. Excellent. My math majors are awake. Okay, good. Now let's keep on going. Then, likewise, he that received 2 also gained other 2. How many did he bring? 4. All right, you're on to this now. But he that received 1, what did he do? He went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, now hold it right there. I'm going to pick up 19. We could say it this way. Those talents were gifts and abilities. Let's just exchange that way, right? One had the talent and ability of 5. The other one had a talent and ability of 2. And the other one had a talent and ability of what? 1. So the one with the 5 gained 5 more, right? 10. The one with the 2 gained 2 more. How many is that? 4. Now, the one with the 1, what did he do? He buried it. Now, did he have a talent? He had a talent, but what did he do with it? He buried it. Now, here's what happens in the church many times. Everybody has a talent. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has ability. But you know what some of us are doing? We're sitting on them and we buried them. We're not doing nothing with them. We're not doing jack squat. Now, what happens here? Now, let's see what happens here, because this is a parable, right? Jesus is giving the account. So verse 19, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done. Say, well done. Thou good and what? Servant. So he was commending him and he was calling him what? Good and what? faithful. Thou hast been what? Faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, right? Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, what? Well done, thou what? Good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now here's something I saw. I just want to bring it to your attention. These two. The one that had 5 and gained 5, he brought those. God said what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few. I'm giving you what? Many. The one that had the 2, what did he do? He brought the 4. What did the master say? The same thing. So here's what we miss in this parable sometimes. It makes no difference the amount of what you're doing. If you take what you have and do something with it, you're going to be good and faithful, and then you'll get the same reward. Both of those men received the same reward. See, we think this way. Well, the guy that had 10, he should get 10% of something. The guy that had 4 should get 4%. Now, that's the world. But if you notice in the kingdom of God, they both received an equal inheritance. They both received being found good and what? Faithful. Okay, so in other words, both of them were blessed. Would you agree? And then here we also see both of them would be later what? Promoted, right? Because of their faithfulness. Now let's see what happened to brother. I just didn't do nothing and, you know, going to talk his way out of it. Verse 24. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man. Now how he knew that? I know you're a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. You know, there's people always going to make an excuse. You ever run into some people that all they want to do is make an excuse? I can't do this because I'm a female. I can't do this because I'm black. I can't do this because I'm white. I can't do this because I'm old. Right? He's making all these excuses, right? And look what he says. And look at verse 25. And I was what? See, when you make excuses, really, you're afraid. And let's face it, fear, you can't operate in faith in fear. You can't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Each and every one of you have been gifted by God. Don't be afraid, right? But this guy was afraid, right? Let's see what he says. And he went and hid his talent in the earth. And lo, there hast thou that is thine. He knows he's saying, here it is, I'm giving it to you, right? Dirt and all, right? And his Lord answered unto him and said, what? Thou what? He called him what? So if you're sitting on your gift, God's going to count it as being what? Wicked. Did he stop there? And what? Slothful servant. What's another word for slothful? Lazy servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. So the guy was listening because the master did say that, right? Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received my own usury. Take therefore the talent from him. He's telling the other ones, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which have 10 talents. Verse 29, for unto everyone that have shall be given, and he that have abundance, but from him that have not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now, I know that sounds like legalese, but what he was saying was this. If you're not doing anything, even with the gift you got, and you've been sitting on it, the Lord is going to take that gift and bring it to the one that's been producing. Because if you want to have, you got to give, right? But we want to be found what? Faithful, right? So let's not lose track of that. Now, let's look at another account that Jesus talked about. Turn over to Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 16. We're talking about faithfulness, right? Luke chapter 16, look at verse 10. Now, Jesus is making this statement, so I'm only taking it from the statement, okay? It's just the same account, but I like what he says here. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust and also must. In other words, what Jesus is saying here, if you're unfaithful when you got squat, when the lotto come, you definitely going to be unfaithful, right? All right? Now, verse 11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, look at verse 12. He goes a little further. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give unto you that which is your own? Now, Jesus switched it real quick. He started talking about faithfulness, but now he's talking about stewardship. Okay? Now, let me give you an example of what we're talking about here with stewardship. I'm going to give you an example of two men in this congregation. Two men. One of them was a gentleman. He worked faithfully and diligently in the media. Every time there was a media project or things that had to be done, you look up in the booth, he was there. I'm talking about Ed, right? He was called Ed. Ed took care of Ed Funstein took care of everything. Any production, anything that had to be done, he took care of it, okay? He slept, ate, everything with media. His purpose was, it wasn't for himself, it was so that Pastor Clinton and Sarah Utterbach would look good. Would you say he was faithful? So the words of God says a faithful man shall do what? Abound with blessings, right? And also we found out here, Jesus said if you're faithful in little, what's going to happen? Much. But then he also said if you're faithful in another man's, right, what's going to happen? Then something can be given to you. So therefore, I like to submit to you, Ed Funstein, who was faithful, a faithful servant in the media and everything connected with it and probably more things that I don't even know about, but that's how faithful he was. God saw his faithfulness and God did what? Promote him to what? Being pastor of one of the pastors of RLCC. Let me give you an example of another man in this congregation. I knew him for many years. We used to call him Mr. Carr. Now, Mr. Carr, when he first started out, he was a LCA physical ed instructor. He moved into any area that the school needed, and he was also on the teaching staff. He became a facilities manager, director over the ministry. So he was faithful in that, which was Pastor Clinton and Sarah's. He didn't own it, but he spent many countless hours and days in his perfecting what the ministry needed. Was he found faithful? Yes. So guess what? A faithful man shall what? Abound with blessings. So here it is, I want you to see. Because of his faithfulness, God saw his faithfulness as well. And God promoted him to what? Becoming a pastor. So both of our pastors came from what we're just talking about here tonight. Each and every one of you who are faithful, I'm just encouraging you. This is an encouragement from the Lord. Remain faithful. God sees your faithfulness. He's the one that will reward you, okay? And he is the one that will promote you. He's the one that will move you along, okay? Everyone see that? That's so important. Turn to Psalm 75, the 75th Psalm. Are you getting anything tonight? Okay, I hope this is encouraging. Is this encouraging you? All right, I hope it is. It encouraged me as I was going through it. I said, well, praise God. Psalm 75, right, the 75th Psalm. Look at verse 6 and 7. Are you there? Read it with me. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Verse 7. But God is what? The judge. He does what? He putteth down one. And what does he do? He sets up another. So in other words, God is the judge, right? Where is your promotion going to come? Your promotion is not going to come from Washington. Your promotion is not going to come from that job you're on right now. Although you may, some of you may. But your promotion is going to come from where? From God, okay? Because God is looking at what? Faithfulness. Now turn back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I want you to see how the Apostle Paul, in his ministry, he was outlining certain things, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Okay, beginning at verse 1, it carries over into verse 2. He says it this way. He says, let a man so account us as of ministers of Christ. He's referring to himself and his ministry staff, right? Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of what? the mysteries of God. Remember I said that word steward is you don't own it, but you're responsible for it. Look at verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that what? That a man be what? Found how? Faithful. How should a man be found? Faithful. Not talented. Faithful. Now, I want you to see something. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Because Paul is always highlights this, and sometimes it gets glossed over in ministry, because all everybody wants to see is, oh, you lay hands on people, they're sick, and you know you got a ministry like Benny Hinn, and Benny Hinn is great. But what I'm saying here is God's looking for faithfulness. He's not looking for Benny Hinn's. Benny Hinn is doing what Benny Hinn's been called to do. You need to do what he's called you to do. Okay? Well, what I want to do for time's sake, okay? Turn to 2 Timothy. For time's sake, don't go to Colossians. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Because I want you to see what Paul had to say about this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He says, in the things, he's encouraging Timothy, right, his protege. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to who? Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So in other words, what Paul is telling Timothy, in ministry, you commit things to faithful people. Notice he didn't say in ministry, commit those things to talented people. You know, I've seen some talented people fall flat on their face in ministry. You know why? Because they weren't faithful. And the other thing is they were relying more on their abilities and thinking that their abilities could bring them to where God needs them. See, here's the thing with God. God has a sense of humor. He takes nothing and does what? Makes something out of it. But what God is looking for is faithfulness, right? And Paul told Timothy, commit things to faithful men, not talented men. I want you to understand that, okay? Now, for time's sake, just write these down for making note. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says this about Moses. The Bible says Moses was faithful in all his house. But we know Moses because remember we saw the movie, The Ten Commandments, and he took the staff and the whole sea parted and everybody walked through it, right? But God, before that all happened, God counted him as faithful in all his house, in all the house of Israel, okay? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, write this down. Jesus is considered what? The faithful high priest. Jesus right now is our faithful high priest. Where is he at? He's at the right hand of the Father making what? Intercession for us. And isn't it good to know that Jesus ain't sleeping on the job? You know, like some people do, they come to prayer and they just, huh? What? No, Jesus is a faithful high priest, okay? Now here's another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. Paul said this. He said God is faithful. Say that, God is faithful. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Paul was talking about the fruits of the Spirit, but he's talking about really the fruits of the recreated Spirit. The fruits in our spirit, in our recreated spirit, one of the fruits of the recreated Spirit is faith, right? It says faith, but really what that means is not faith, moving mountains, but it means faithfulness. Say that, say faithfulness. Faithfulness. Say one of the fruits that's in my recreated spirit is faithfulness. So I have the ability to be faithful. Everyone understand that? Now let's tie this all in together because we're talking about faithfulness is the blueprint for God's blessings and promotions. I want to tie this all together by just saying this. In this congregation, and even here tonight, the Spirit of God told me, he said, the ones that you will see tonight that will come are the faithful ones. He said that I didn't. I didn't know who you were. I didn't know who was going to show up. But he told me to tell you. He said the ones that come tonight are the faithful ones. He said these are the ones that I can use. These are the ones that I will use in the days ahead. These are the ones that I will promote. These are the ones that I will bless. So I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're not experiencing any blessings right now, they're on the way. You understand what I'm saying? They're on the way. And once again, let me just clarify something because there's a big misnomer in the body of Christ. When I talk about the blessings, I'm not talking about a bank account. Because there's a lot of people that got a lot of money and they are not blessed. They're sick. They're broke. They're broken. Their spirit. They're experiencing a lot of malfunctions in their mind and everything. They got to go see a psychiatrist. I was reading today in the devotion with Brother Smith Wigglesworth. He said he was walking down the street with a friend of his who was a millionaire. And he told his friend, he said, you know what? He said, because I have Jesus, because I have the word of God, he said, I don't have a care in the world. Every need is met. He said, I'm blessed. Every need is met. And I'm happy as a bird. And his friend looked at him, that was a millionaire. He said, say that. What did you say? Say it again. He said, because I'm born again, because I have Jesus, because I have the word of God, I'm blessed. I am happy as a bird. All my needs are met. And the millionaire looked at him and said, you know what? He said, I'd give anything. I'd give half of what I have to have what you have. So I'm here to tell you, when we talk about blessing, we're not talking about money. And although money is a part of it, money will follow it. But what I'm talking about blessing is this. You'll have your health. You'll have favor. You'll have protection. You'll have whatever you say will come to pass. And more importantly, you will be in the will of God. If you want to receive the blessings, you know, they say with a spout, where the water falls, or where the blessings fall out, the spout where the blessings fall out, we're going to talk about next week. Next week, what we're going to talk about is that spout. That spout is called integrity and obedience. So say this with me. Say faithfulness. Say, Father God, I thank you that you have made me faithful. I will be found faithful in my service to you. I will be found faithful in my service to others. I will be found faithful in every area and every situation that you place in my hands. You are faithful. Your word is faithful. I am faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord goes right there. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this message. I thank you tonight. It was such a joy to share this with these, my people, my brothers and sisters of Light Precious Faith. Father God, I thank you that each and every one of them are faithful. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak over each and every one of you. I speak over you the word of God. God, who is faithful, has called you. The one who has called you will keep you. Remain faithful. Stay faithful. Stay to your calling. Let your calling and election be made known and sure. Know this, that every step that you take in your service to him, it's recorded in eternity. Every act of kindness, every gesture, every ounce of obedience that you have demonstrated, God sees. And he is pleased. The Father is pleased with this bunch tonight. I hear that. He says, I am pleased. I am pleased. So right now, by faith, embrace what we've talked about. The faithful man. Say this, I am a faithful man. Or if you're a woman, I am a faithful woman. And because I'm faithful, I will abound in blessings. Blessings are mine because I am faithful. Blessings are mine because God is faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah.